It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Tax season is here. It's something that in a lot of ways is routine, and yet there have been some significant changes in recent years. For one, you might be able to file your taxes directly with the IRS this year for free, electronically, without paying TurboTax or another company like that. More on that in a moment. But there's also growing concern it might take a really long time to see your tax refunds, this on account of President Trump's significant cuts in federal personnel, including at the Internal Revenue Service. So for those who have already filed and perhaps gotten your refunds, congratulations. For everyone else, this conversation is for you. Tom O'Sabin is Director of Tax Content and Government Relations at the National Association of Tax Professionals. Tom, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here.
And listeners, you can join us at 800-222-9455. If you have any tax season concerns or questions about how those federal cuts at the IRS might affect you or any other tax questions, let us know at 800-222-9455. All right. So one of the big changes here in Illinois, Tom, is the option to file electronically with the IRS for free without using paid software, for example. How does that work?
Well, what happens is, first of all, you have to qualify, and many, many Illinois taxpayers, as well as taxpayers in the other 25 states who can file directly with the IRS, can qualify. Typically, if your household wages are less than $125,000, your sources of income are wages, meaning W-2s. You're not self-employed. Also, if you're there are limitations on the higher end, whether you're married filing jointly or married filing separately. And the first theme that I would like to tell people is, if there's any possible way for you to file your return electronically, do so. And this is a great feature that's been kicked off by the IRS a couple of years ago. And now here for 2024 returns, Illinois is participating as well. And in fact, in reading at the IRS Free File site, they will actually take the information that you input at the IRS site and pre-populate it into the Illinois return. So again, if your income is under $125,000, your sources are wages or perhaps retirement income and Social Security, you can file this method. However, it's not yet available for those who are self-employed.
So if you have a relatively more straightforward tax situation, I guess, is how they say that. All right. Well, then this raises one of the questions we've heard are about people who are, this concern about federal cutbacks. And we got a text message from Jane in Pawnee who said, "I filed my taxes just last week. Fortunately, my small refund arrived in only 4 days. However, I fear that later filers may wait longer given low morale and possible layoffs among IRS employees." Thank you for that message, Jane. Tom, there are worries about the downsizing at the IRS could delay returns. How are you thinking about this issue?
I thank Jane for her message, and I agree with you, Brian, in that very mode. I'm a tax practitioner. I've been one for more than 34 years, and the first thing I would tell you is, you want to, if we can have a theme going throughout this conversation, is that we want to try to avoid the necessity for person-to-person contact. And what that means is, whatever method you use to get your taxes to the IRS, make sure, first of all, that we have good input. Now, as a tax professional, the first thing I do when a client comes in is I look at last year's return. So I would tell folks who are going to do their own return, whether it's on a commercial software or, with the free file systems, to review their input before they submit. The old saying in the computer world is garbage in, garbage out. So we want to make sure that we avoid some of the common mistakes, which we can talk about, and then electronically file that return. And I think the experience will be much like what my clients have been experiencing, and our text message said, submit electronically, don't wait, but at the same time, don't panic. Don't panic file, because my mom used to say, haste makes waste. So be prepared, make sure we've got good data going in, electronically file, choose to have a direct deposit to a bank account that will also expedite your refund, and making sure we've got a clean submission and we see that confirmation coming back, and you can then avoid the necessity to find out why there's a problem on your return, which again would necessitate person-to-person contact. And Brian, with a cutback in staffing, there's no possible way that the phone systems will be able to be adequately staffed at the IRS. So if we can avoid that necessity for person-to-person contact, everybody's going to have, hopefully, a seamless experience like the caller had.
Yeah, don't panic file. Don't be like me that one year in college where I was driving out to the post office on the edge of Champaign at 11:50 p.m. on tax day, and there was a guy standing next to the mailbox with one of those big sort of laundry baskets of mail. It was like the Simpsons. Okay. You mentioned common mistakes people make. What are some things that people typically do wrong? Some things to watch out for?
Absolutely. Probably the number one thing deals with Social Security numbers. The IRS system matches the first four letters of the last name to the Social Security number. So for the common instance would be where someone has gotten married during the year. By the way, there's no law out there that says that a spouse has to take the last name of the other spouse. But let's say that you follow that traditional method when you get married, and so your name changed from Smith to Jones. Well, that changed on the marriage license, but it didn't change with Social Security. So if you go ahead and submit that return with your now married name, the Social Security Administration still has the maiden name. And so the return will reject because the first four letters of that last name won't match the Social Security number. That would cause a reject. Okay, that's one of the common situations. So if you haven't yet changed your name with Social Security, use the maiden name for lack of a better term. The second most common area with Social Security numbers is that a Social Security number for a dependent has already been used to file a return. Now, this could be something nefarious where there's been identity theft, but there's also an incredible number of circumstances where, let's say we've got an adult child away at school, and the adult child worked a little bit, is still a dependent of the parents, and was with their friends on the weekend and decided to go onto the free file system and file. Well, what they failed to do is they failed to indicate they were a dependent of another. So then the parents go and file the return, and the return rejects because the dependent's Social Security number has been used previously. And now the parents have missed out on the credit for, an older child, which is like $500, and the education credits because let's say they're still an undergraduate. So it's a real mess. But I got a fix for that. Well, I don't have a fix. Actually, the IRS gave us a fix, which I think is worth sharing with the audience. Previously, what we would have to do then is file a paper return claiming the child and explaining what happened, and turnaround time when the IRS was fully staffed, I might add, Brian, was upwards of 10 months, an experience I just had in the last filing season.
Oh my gosh.
Well, just in December, the IRS came with a procedure to correct this. It's called DDR reporting, as in duplicate dependent reporting. There's an acronym at the IRS for everything. And here's the circumstance. If a situation happened just like I laid out, daughter's away at school, she is a dependent, claimed herself on a return, for lack of a better phrase, blows up when the parents go to file it. If the parent has an identity protection PIN, which you can get from the IRS, or gets an identity protection PIN, and they can go to get, GET, AN, AN, IP PIN, IPPIN, .com, and make sure you get to the IRS website. If you go to some website that wants to charge you, go away, you're in the wrong place. But if the main taxpayer has or gets an identity protection PIN, they can resubmit that return and it will be processed as it should have been originally. That is a huge win for taxpayers. Instead of having to now have to do a paper filed return or worse, try to get through to the IRS when the staffing is down and dealing with all that frustration. So, I would recommend that taxpayers get an identity protection PIN anyway, because it adds another layer of protection for when the bad guys are trying to use what I call the keys to the candy store, which is a match to the first four letters of the last name and the Social Security number to try to file fraudulent returns. So, a couple of points to accomplish by getting an identity protection PIN. It doesn't cost anything. And you've got, let's call it the equivalent of two-factor authentication, we deal with in the world today. So if a return would reject because of the circumstance I explained about the dependent, or sometimes, it can be an argument situation between unmarried parents as to who claims the child. And let's face facts, regardless of the rules, sometimes it's the first one in, gets the claim, whether that's correct or incorrect. So that's a common error that comes along too. Another area to avoid frustration is to not call the IRS if it seems like it's taking a little bit of time to get your refund. Use the Where's My Refund tool that's available at irs.gov, or you can actually download an app. Now, with that, I'll caution people that from the time you submit your return, either via free file or another online version, or even with a tax professional, there's probably about a 10-day turnaround before that information is reflected on the Where's My Refund tool. So that would be another suggestion I would have to the audience is to, have some patience and realize that know what you're hearing out there on social media, which says, well, there's no staffing at the IRS, so you might as well not bother to file. That's bad advice. What could happen electronically is just what you described when you had to go to the outskirts of Champaign at a quarter to 12 on April 15th with a person there collecting returns. That can happen, Brian, in an electronic world. So if you delay and wait to file, what can happen on the electronic end? Computer systems can crash. And if they crash and we've got a reduced staffing at the IRS, how long is it going to take to fix that issue? I want to say some years ago, I found myself, well, I hate to admit, I was pulling an all-nighter right before April 15th, but in transmitting returns in the middle of the night, the confirmations were coming back very slowly. Turns out there was a crash in the IRS system. And in fact, that year, I don't remember what it was, could have been 2017, 2016, I don't recall exactly. The IRS found themselves actually granting another day for people to get their returns in because of that. So the advice
Oh,
would
interesting.
be collect good information, double check everything, electronically file, be patient, do it sooner than later. We are, as human beings, we are procrastinators by nature, and submit that good return and try to avoid the necessity for person-to-person contact.
One last, we only have a couple minutes left. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned this idea of not paying. We got a text message. Dolan in Athens, Illinois said, as for the IRS, if you're going to cut them out, stop making us file taxes. Life is difficult enough if you aren't rich. And there is this feeling of protest in the air. I saw someone asked on Reddit, are you able to protest by not paying taxes? Tom, what would you say to that?
I would say that I understand, and to quote former President Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. But at the same time, there have been numerous constitutional challenges over the years to the tax system itself, and they have all been defeated. Taxes have been declared constitutional. It is the way that we pay our bills. But we also know, and I think that it was a very good conversation earlier in the program. Talking about trying to cut the federal budget and are we cutting it with an axe or a scalpel? And we know that the government wastes a tremendous amount of money. But if someone's going to, not file as a protest, first of all, they may be losing out on a refund, which if they go beyond 3 years from the due date of that return, that refund will not be sent to them. However, I will also mention that for a return that is not filed, the statute of limitations is unlimited. So if you don't file for 10 years, for example, and you owe the government money, they can come back on all those 10 years. And the government has a lot more expensive attorneys than most of us here can get. And I'm afraid in that situation, while it's very frustrating, in the end result, we're going to lose.
Wow, 10 years, no statute of limitations. That's amazing. All right, Tom O'Sabin is Director of Tax Content and Government Relations at the National Association of Tax Professionals. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us today on the 21st Show.
It was great being on the show. Thank you for having me.
That is all the time we have for our program today. Tomorrow, we will be talking with Catherine Huff. She is a professor of nuclear physics at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. But during the Biden administration, she was the undersecretary at the Department of Energy over nuclear energy for the entire U.S. government. We're going to be talking with her about some of the cutbacks that we've seen from the Trump administration and the future of nuclear energy here in America. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.